Morning.
Morning.
Ever since 2002, I've been meeting with my friend Dan to pray. And we pray for our families and for our friends and for people who ask us to pray for them. And anyone we know that we really feel needs a touch from God. And back in 2002, when we started, we were writing it all down on, you know, the notepads, the reporter's notepads. And we're writing it because it changes every week. So we're writing it every day. And then over the years, as the years went by, we're both getting old and writing starts getting quite painful because of arthritis in the fingers. So it went online, or at least it went on the computer. So for a while we did it on the computer. But then there was Windows 10 and Anne actually just didn't want to put a word processing program on there. So it ended up on my little tablet. So every week my little tablet goes with me as we come together to pray. And last week we were praying normally praying through all the people that, and this thing sprang into life and it said, "I can hear you talking, but I don't know what you're saying. Say, okay, Google." So I looked at it and it had come up on the screen as well. Say, okay, Google. So I said, "Okay, Google. Shut up." Oh, dear. So it's responded to that as well. And it vanished and went away, and we had a good laugh and went on with our prayers. And it just struck me that that's perhaps the way we need to deal with the devil when he comes to us as well. So last week we covered forgive us our trespasses, and that's God dealing with our past sins. That's what God does. He forgives us when we come to him in confession, and he forgives us and allows us to move on. But today we're looking at the next stage, what happens in the future. And we've come to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There are lots of different translations, and they're all quite different. The three that struck me was the NRSV translates this as, "Do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one." And the New Living Translation says, "And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one." And the Message says, very bluntly, I think, "Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil." So the reading we had this morning was very emphatic that God does not tempt anyone. So why would Jesus tell us to pray that we will not be led into temptation? He does allow his people to be tested and tried. And this petition expresses a healthy distrust of one's own ability to resist temptations or to stand up under trial. It acknowledges complete dependence on the Lord for preservation. So I'll just read that little bit from James again. "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. So evil desires arise within us, a part of our nature, and we're called to resist them in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's possible that the first readers of 1 Corinthians were tempted by idolatry to do what everybody else did, take part in the rituals in the various temples in the city. Our idols are more subtle, but just as dangerous. And for us too, the temptation is to do as everyone else does and move away from our relationship with the Lord Jesus. It's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus himself was tempted by the devil. Sin occurs when we give in to temptation and fail to faithfully serve our Lord. So I'll just read that passage from 1 Corinthians. It's chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. The Greek word that's translated as temptation can also mean trial or testing. Hence the NRSV translation of this phrase is, "and do not bring us to the time of trial." Times of trial come and test our faith, but this petition is a prayer that we'll be not led to such a place where we may be in danger of betraying our Lord. We think of our many brothers and sisters around the world who are facing life-threatening situations because of their faith in Jesus, and we pray that they may be strong in their faith and not fail. But we do not seek trials for ourselves, and that is what this petition is about. We do not seek trials. We pray that God will not lead us into them. But if he does, and I'm back with James again, "consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And further on in verse 12, he says, "God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to all those who love him." So God does sometimes allow trials. And when they come, he's paying us a compliment. He's saying, "You're ready to deal with this trial. You have the strength to endure it and remain faithful, and you will come out of it even stronger." As we endure trials and difficulties, clinging to the Lord all the way through, we are indeed blessed and grow ever closer to him and ever more like him. And that is our goal as we live our lives on this earth, to become ever more like Jesus as we obey his commands and cling to him in trouble. So the second part of this petition, and it's very much linked to the first part, is deliver us from evil. When we recite the Lord's Prayer, unfortunately, we always use the King James Version, which seriously mistranslates this. Most modern translations say, "deliver us from the evil one." The Greek word for evil is poneron. Greek nouns can be masculine, feminine, or neuter. Poneron has the on ending, indicating that it is neuter. It means evil generally, evil as we experience it in the world. But the word that's used here in the Lord's Prayer is not poneron, it is poneros, which is the masculine form of the noun. And when this form is used in Scripture, it always means Satan. So here, we're praying for God's protection from the devil. We start with the knowledge that God is more powerful than the devil, and that the devil can only attack us if God allows it. But there are two positions we can fall into when thinking about him. One is to deny his existence, and lots of people do that. And he's very happy when we do that, because if we don't acknowledge that he's there, then we're much more vulnerable when he starts attacking us. We need to know that he's there and defend ourselves from him and cling to Jesus. The other equally bad thing to do when thinking about the devil is to become totally obsessed with him, and sometimes people do that too. And he's even more happy about that, because people who are obsessed with the devil are gradually led down and down and down. Never, ever, ever seek an encounter with the devil. It's extremely dangerous. Always cling to the Lord and allow him to protect you when the devil is around. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." So this prayer is a prayer for deliverance, that God will protect us from his temptations, his accusations, and his lies. And the devil is responsible for all three of those. He tempts us, he accuses us, and he lies to us. In the Garden of Eden, the devil took the form of a serpent. And he started by questioning God's instructions. "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree in the garden?'" When Eve pointed out that the only tree that was forbidden was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that the penalty for disobedience was death, Satan contradicted God and persuaded Adam and Eve to believe him instead of God. He's been doing that ever since, persuading people to believe him instead of believing God. And we can see that, the result of his misinformation all around us. All the evil in the world that comes to people because they don't acknowledge God and they listen to Satan's lies. Jesus says of Satan in St. John's Gospel, "When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." In Revelation, the devil is described as the accuser of the brethren. And he does accuse us. He does get at us. God has promised, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We need to cling on to that. If we do something wrong, we tell God we're sorry and he forgives us. And that's all there is to it. But Satan nags. "How could you do something like that? God could not possibly forgive that. I must be the greatest sinner ever," etc., etc., etc. And it goes on and on and on. And if you allow him to, he can really drag you down. He doesn't let go. But your response should be the same as mine when answering Google. Okay, Satan, shut up. If you need to apologize to someone else, do so and then put it behind you. We are children of God. God has forgiven us, and we are therefore required to forgive ourselves and to move on. It's no use saying, I know God forgive me, but I can't forgive myself for that. That's not allowed. If God's forgiven you, who are you to say, I'm not going to forgive myself? So it's very important that we don't allow Satan to lead us astray in that way. We are given freedom by God. We are set free from the past because of what Christ has done. And we must never let Satan tell us otherwise. James chapter 4 and verse 7 says, submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So if we find that he is dragging us down, that he is telling us we're not good enough, that he is telling us we're not behaving in a way that is honest, if we are doing things wrong, then we need to confess it and let God forgive us. But a lot of the time we're not. A lot of the time he's dragging up old things that are already past. Resist him. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Sometimes God does allow Satan to test us. He does allow him to impinge on our lives in the way that we would prefer not. And one example of that in Scripture is the book of Job. Job suffered the loss of everything he had, including his children. And when even then he remained faithful to God, Satan was allowed to afflict him with boils all over his body. His wife, who no doubt was deeply distressed to see him in this state, said, why are you sticking to God through all of this? Curse God and die. And that, of course, was Satan talking through his wife. But he said, shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? And later on, in conversation with his comforters, he makes an even more powerful statement of his trust in God. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And sometimes when things are tough, when things are hard, when we're really going through a bad time, we need to recognize that actually God is paying us a compliment and we will come through this better and more like Jesus if we cling to God, if we do not allow Satan to defeat us, if we lean on God in all of our troubles, in all of our problems. He will support us, he will help us, he will encourage us, he will strengthen us. So like Job, we're required to trust God in tough times and resist Satan's lies that would lead us astray. And the last passage I want to read to you is from Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. And many people I know do this every day. They sort of metaphorically put on all the different bits of the armour of God. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. That's how we fight the devil. And we just need to keep on reminding ourselves. Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness and overcame. He did not sin. But when he gave this prayer to his disciples, he was speaking from personal experience. He knew how hard it is to resist temptation. And therefore we pray that God will not allow us to be tested beyond what we can bear, but that when temptation and testing do come upon us, we will be ready and stand firm in the power of God. And this last quote is from R.C. Sproul's book, The Prayer of the Lord. I often ask myself how I would measure up if God allowed me to be severely tested. I honestly don't know. And I don't want to have to find out. So I often pray this petition of the Lord's Prayer, asking, O Lord, please, please keep that hedge around me. Don't put me in that place of testing. Deliver me from the evil one who goes about like a roaring lion ready to devour whomever he will. I pray for divine protection from all the forces of evil that surround us. And I believe that this petition should be on every believer's lips every day. Amen. Our final